Fantastic. How are we doing, church? We good?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So it's the summer holidays. Lots of, there are quite a few people away, but listen, in the presence of, anyone love just being in the presence of God? I just love it. You know, I look forward to Sundays, and as I get older, I feel like Sunday, like this happens as you get older, I'm sure, but the weeks are just flying by, right? I'm like, oh, it's Sunday again, it's Sunday again, it's Sunday again, which is great. It's Sunday every day. It's brilliant. But listen, we're in a moment at the moment in these kind of summertime. Pastor Shu last week shared a story called Come to Me. It was a really good word. Anyone enjoy Pastor Shu's word last week? It was really, really good. And it was actually part of a series that we're doing over the summer, which is called our Signature Series. And what that means is we're giving each speaker a chance to just kind of share their signature thing. You know, so each one of us has got a story to our life, a thing to our life, and a message, I would say, that's attached to our life. And for Pastor Shu, that was very much something that was been strong in his heart for quite a while now as he shared that story of summer camp. And part of this signature series, I'm going to kind of share a thing that's kind of relevant to me, but I think it's going to be powerful for you. Amen. And when we share the word of God, we're not just sharing a storybook, we're sharing life-giving words. When scripture is being shared, we're sharing hope. Come on, does anyone need hope?
Yeah.
We're sharing a chance for freedom,
yeah,
breakthrough, and all of these things. So listen, don't just sit there thinking this is a great story. Sit there ready to receive.
Yeah.
Have your heart postured to believe. Even if you're here for the first time and you're thinking, what have I walked into here? You probably thought this is mad. God is going to move. And when he does, be ready to catch something. Amen? So I'm going to start, before I give you the title of this message, I'm just going to read a scripture that's kind of one that I've shared many times before. And it's something when, you know, when God speaks to you, it's just like you can't get away from this chunk of scripture. And this is the one for me. Oh yeah, well done, Paula. She's got, this is Paula. Well done. Hands together for Pastor Paula. Well done, Pastor Paula. Without you, I'd be lost. No, I wouldn't. I've got Jesus, but I would. But seriously, the reason why she came up, because I wanted to keep these separate, the praise reports, because I thought there was some really cool praise reports. Before I go into the scripture, I'm going to read these, because this is some really good stuff here we're going to give God thanks for. So there's one here, praising God for my dad's healing, God is good. Amen. Come on. Praising always to the Lord Jesus Christ for his provision and that he knows our hearts and what's best for us. This is Wayne, and Wayne was also 65 2 days ago. So Wayne, happy birthday. Bless you, mate. Mandy here, just thanking the Lord for getting me through a difficult season, giving me wisdom and guidance through all that I needed to do. Praise the Lord with all my heart and soul. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God for that one. And then this last one, the Morleys. 44 years of marriage. Come on, Karen and John. Yeah, John's pointing to Karen because it's 44 years of putting up with John. Is that what you're saying, John? I'm joking. We bless you guys. You guys are so faithful. John and Karen, you know, John turns up to the office every Tuesday. He's just such a heartfelt, God-loving man, and Karen the same coming in. We bless you guys, and we pray many, many, many more years of abundance over your marriage. Amen. Amen. It's always good to give God thanks. So, we're going to go into this series. I'm going to read a scripture from Mark 4, 35 to 41. It's going to come on the screen, so if you haven't got your Bible, you can read along with me. To give context to this story, just prior to this, and I've shared this before, the disciples have been in a moment with Jesus, which I think every one of us would have loved to have been in. He was preaching from the shores of Galilee. He was preaching a storm. It was like day one conference. It must have been amazing. It must have been incredible. God, Jesus preaching some incredible moments. And then as the day goes on towards the end, he says these words to them. On that day, so verse 35, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What a mad moment. One we've probably read many, many times, but an incredible visual of the power of the God that we serve. The message I want to share with us today is the storms of life, and specifically living in the storms of life. And I want you to capture this thought in everything that I share today. If God is here, it's okay. If God is here, it's okay. Come on, turn to your neighbor. If God is here, say it to them, it's going to be okay. So all of us will be fully aware of storms, right? We know what a storm looks like in the natural. I'll give a definition if you don't know, but I'm pretty sure you should know. In England, we don't really have proper storms, do we? But it is a disturbance of the atmosphere marked by wind, rain, snow, hail, sleet, thunder, and lightning, or it's a serious disturbance of any element of nature. We know what a storm looks like. And as I said, in England, they're little blows. In some countries, they tear houses apart. But and you know what? Across the world, there's devastations like this all the time, and we need to be praying for our world as things like this happen, as they rip people's lives apart. But this really interesting thing happened to me as I was sitting in my upper room. I've got a little upper room, like a little loft. I call it my upper room. So it's not like I've got all biblical and like I've created the book of Acts in my house, but it's my upper room. It's my little house, little room in the top of our house with a little window that opens up. And I sit up there and I prep messages and I just have time with God. It's my quiet place. Everyone have a quiet place? Got a secret place with God? Yeah, yeah, everyone needs to have one of those. And this is mine. And as I was sat there dwelling with God and sitting and thinking over this message, which is already on my heart, but trying to just say, God, like, I've been through many storms in my life. Like, what story is relatable to here? And just as I was thinking and doing that, this was Thursday, I heard, I thought, oh, what was that? And I look out of my little window and I literally see black clouds coming across. But I don't even link what I've just been saying to God. I'm panicking, thinking, is there stuff in the garden? Oh my goodness, this looks crazy. And then within the moment of probably 1 to 2 minutes, the rain coming down was so insane. I ran downstairs to get things out of the garden. But not only that, then I started noticing leaks in the roof. And I was like, what is happening here? So I was getting cups. I was doing all this madness, trying to sort stuff out. And then my neighbor's thing was leaking next door. He's on his roof sweeping. It was all this drama that had happened out of nowhere. And I was like, wow, we got past all of that. My neighbor is a legend. He's brilliant, incredible guy. He's out there sweeping my roof, trying to sort all this stuff out. I gather myself after about an hour of dealing with all this. And I'm like, oh, Lord, where was we? Oh, I was asking for a story about a storm. I'm like, well, thank you very much, Lord. There we go. So be careful when you ask God for a story pertaining to something like that, because you may end up with some leaks in your roof. But it was incredible, because I just thought to myself, God's funny. Look, I've been through many storms, but that was a very real moment right there. Even though it was a storm, it was just chaotic, because this is the reality of storms. They can come suddenly. We cannot often prepare for them. From one day to the next, they just come. And you have often got to respond to it somehow, some way. They're unpredictable, right? And just as I was sat there thinking, my goodness, I didn't predict any of that kind of happen, we've got to be ready for the storms of life in our world. Jesus said that we would have trouble in this life. He said, take heart, though I have overcome the world. Christianity isn't a Disney World way of living. All lovely and think. Christianity is walking with God in the midst of chaos. It isn't a promise of living with nothing bad ever happening to your life. It's a promise of lots of stuff bad happening with your life, but having peace in the midst of it. Amen. So I've got three really simple key lessons, I believe, to living through life's storms that they bring us. And three things that have kind of like I've lived through and on the journey have kind of learned. And I hope and pray that as I share some of this stuff, you'll be encouraged and moved to kind of put some of this into practice. And so I've got three, not the water. We've had enough water in my house coming through the thing, so we're not going to be talking about that. So what we've got here, I've got three props that I wanted to share, because these are three things that sit on my desk that remind me all the time of how to live with God. And the first one is this compass. That, for those that remember, when I graduated through MIT, one of the gifts that they gave me to become a minister was a compass, and it was related to direction. And it's very relevant for my life because direction is a massive importance when it comes to anything in a storm. Amen? I don't know if anyone's a sailor here. Anyone sail boats? On boats? Anyone in the Navy? Ciprone, where are you? He's here somewhere. Yeah. You'll know this. You're the only one in the room, I think. But compasses are so important when it comes to steering a ship through a storm in any which way. And actually, a compass, the way it works is it's set to the Earth's magnetic field. And it's when you point it to north and the thing, it just sticks to the magnetic field of that area. So no matter the directional chaos that's happening around you, as long as you've got that, you should always be on target knowing where you're going. And even in the most modern ships today, they still have a traditional compass, a traditional way of making sure that if everything else failed, they've got the good old stuff there to direct us to make sure we know where we're going. But storms can throw us off track. That's the reality of this. And the reason why I've got this here is to remind me about direction. They can cause confusion. Anyone been in a storm where you've been thrown off track in the natural, it brings confusion to your life and you can lose a sense of direction. And before you know it, you're heading in the wrong way. I remember I shared a video with this once ages ago with Russell. Anyone remember the video I shared with me and Russell running through some mad countryside somewhere in Devon? I'll never forget that moment. We decided stupidly to go for a run in the middle of what was the foggiest place ever that we couldn't see. And as we started to venture forward, I didn't know where we genuinely lost all sense of direction until I got the compass out. And I realized, oh, we're running that way. But the reality is, the minute I stop looking at it, I go off target. And this is the truth. If we don't have a sense of direction towards our life in the midst of a storm, we'll end up somewhere we didn't want to be. And we'll end up doing things we didn't want to do. And we'll be in situations we didn't intend to be in because we lost the sense of our direction. When storms arise around us, we have to draw on the compass of our life, which is God's word. This is the truth. So each of these have a natural element to it, but what I want to bring is a spiritual element to them. So a compass will guide a ship, and it will guide our life if we're hiking somewhere up a mountain. But to do life well, you have to have the compass of life inside of you. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Listen, before we know God, we're walking in darkness. Just praying and hoping we're getting to somewhere in life. Assuming that every step we're taking is going to lead to some form of purpose. But it just leads to emptiness. And then we're illuminated by God's love, and his word then illuminates our path. Gives us a sense of direction and purpose that we didn't see before. But the reality is, if we don't know his word, we're running without a compass. We're at a loss when it comes to the storms of life. When things start kicking off around us, if we aren't anchored with God's word, we're going to be swayed to and fro, pulled to this way and that way by the feelings and the emotions of whatever is leading us. You know, God's word is an anchor to our soul. It's an anchor to our soul, which means when everything is breaking up around us, his word will hold you. Amen. Listen, there's going to be stuff happening in your life that right now you can't even see it. Loved ones will pass away. Things will happen in our life which will cause us to feel heartbroken and hurt. But when you've got God's word, in the midst of that storm, I promise you, you'll have a direction that you couldn't realize you could have. It's just like the disciples in this moment. The greatest thing they had in the boat was the compass of life stood there. He was the one that said, we're going to go to the other side. If he's the one saying we're going to the other side, then where are we going to go? To the other side. Come on. If God is here, then it's going to be okay. This is the reality of what we're trying to say. When the storms break out in your life, if God is here, it's going to be okay. Why? Because you have the one leading you through it. He is the compass of your life, the one who's directing it and leading you. So even when it makes no sense and you can't see in front of you, trust him by his word and you will find the other side. Amen? These are key lessons. So if you are doing this life without reading your word, can I encourage you this week, dust it off, open it up, and get it inside of you. Don't just pretend Christianity is about a cool thing. You go to church, it's becoming a bit of a thing nowadays. Yeah, I'm a Christian. It's not. It's a life surrendered to a king and obeying his word, even when it's hard. Come on, I need to nail this morning. The word of God is not to be played with, to be taken lightly. Oh, I'll do a little bit of it, but I don't believe that bit adds to me. No. It is 100% the word of God. It's true and needs to be followed. Amen? Amen. I say that because my heart's burdened with that right now. God's word's not to be played with or to be taken lightly or to pretend that it is irrelevant in some parts but relevant in others. No, it is 100% true when it hurts and when it's hard to follow. But trust me, it will lead you to the other side. Amen? So we need to have the compass of our life in us, the direction of our life of King Jesus and him speaking through us and in us. Amen. The second thing that I have on my desk, which I think when it comes to storms and when it comes to this moment where these young disciples are freaking out because Jesus has told them to go to the other side and there's a storm breaking out, is this little thing I have, which is like an old school metronome. Everyone knows what this is, right? It does the whole kind of thing, right? And the band have got one in their ears as they're playing along. And what this does is helps everyone who's in the band stay in rhythm, stay at beat together, know where they're at, stay to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. It keeps that rhythm. And the reality is, when storms break out, they can disrupt our rhythm. They can disrupt our rhythm. They can go from, well, let me read it in this moment where we see it in the Gospels. We see beautiful moment, Jesus preaching on the seaside. It's lovely, it's beautiful, it's, oh, revelation heaven, this is amazing. Then Jesus says, let's go to the other side. And they're probably thinking, oh, this is going to be brilliant. We're going to go over there and do it. But then in the midst of it, a storm breaks out. And all of a sudden, the rhythm on one side of the people changes. Listen to what it says. And they woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? That's a rhythm change right there. That's a panic, a stress. Oh my gosh, do you not know Jesus? Jesus! It's a panic, stress moment. Why? Because the waves are crashing against them and their rhythm has changed. But watch Jesus's rhythm. Asleep on a cushion. Peace, be still. His rhythm ain't changing for no one or nothing. I love it. Do you know we all have a rhythm to our life? Some people, I can be chaotic with my rhythm. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I bounce all over the show. I know I'm looking at people. I'm like, you relate to me. I bounce all over the show. But one of the best things you can do when it comes to your life pattern and rhythm is line up with God's rhythm. See, God's rhythm and God's beat is his heart. His heart beats to a rhythm of peace, be still, joy, joy. Freedom, freedom, love, love. It just keeps bellowing and bellowing and bellowing. And we're here going, panicking, Lord, I haven't got enough. And he's going, provision, provision, provision. His heart isn't changing and his beat isn't moving to a panicked state. His rhythm is consistent. Why? Because he's a God who's not worried about the circumstances because he's already got it all in control. We only get off rhythm when we start to panic and shake and things start to get stressful. Come on. We don't like to live in stress, right? I feel like the English culture is a stressy culture and I think we need to change it. Amen. We need to reverse it. We need to be more calm and relaxed in the way we do life. I started reading a book by John Mark Comer. It's an incredible, incredible book about being an apprentice of Jesus. A disciple, an apprentice, basically a follower of God in such a way. And one of the first things he tackles is that reality of stress. Find your rhythm with God. A rhythm of gentleness, calmness, peace. Be still. But we're like that. I've got to sort it out. Peace. Right, okay, let's get that sorted. Right, and that's our mind sometimes. It's chaotic. Oh, I don't want it. I'll just be over here. Come on, let's just learn to find the rhythm that God has for us, amen? There is a rhythm to living with Jesus, as I said, to be his apprentice, and we have to beat along to his heartbeat. And Jesus is never going to join in with your beat in the sense that, oh, you're stressed today, right, I'll get in there with you and just be. He's not. He actually says what Pastor Shu said last week, and we read it in Matthew 11. When it comes to the picture we have here, Matthew 11, 28 to 29, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come on, does anyone want rest for your souls? Listen, I really believe this is a word for someone. You've come into this week, this day, and this week has looked very stressful to you. There's lists in your mind, there's agendas that you've got to get sorted, and all this stuff going on. And you're panicking now already before it's happened. But I need you to know God's already at the end of it saying it's going to be fine. He's seen it. It's fine. Peace be still in Jesus' name over every chaotic thought that's building up in your mind. Amen? See, storms will break up around us all the time in life. Our job is not to react to it, but just to respond to God's heartbeat in it. Reaction doesn't do anything. As parents, we can react. I get this one badly wrong all the time, and this is like maybe a repentance moment here that I'm about to do. But you know, when children wind you up and they annoy you, and ooh, do they annoy you sometimes? Yeah, they do. They really do. And you're thinking, you're just thinking, are you seriously saying that to me? I'm not going to say what they're saying. They just mean you're saying no to it. And you're like, what are you doing? And you can react, can't you? Paula's brilliant. She's just a respond. Huh? That's all right. I'll deal with that later. I'm there like banging my head against the wall. I'll deal with it now. But the reality is, like, we've got a choice when storms are breaking up around us to react in frustration and anger or to respond with the heartbeat of God. I'm telling you, one will lead to life, one will lead to, I don't know what, chaos in your life. No one needs more of that. We've already got a storm. We don't need more. Peace be still, amen. The rhythm of your life. Listen, it can be like this, the reality. Oh, I don't want that. Let's just like bring it up a level. Oh, that's a bit better place to be. The heartbeat of God, just gentle and lowly, amen. Come on, let's restore and get our hearts set back to how they should be, amen. In line with his heartbeat, following a gentle rhythm and pattern for the way in which we should live. This is the joy of Christianity. Like I said, it's not a Disneyland way of living, running through meadows and everything fine, but it is a place of peace. It is a place of joy. It is a place of freedom, even if everything around you doesn't look it, amen? The last thing I have to say when it comes to this and when it comes to walking through a storm is we need to be adaptable. And I think this is a really key one, or flexible. And I have a ruler because this one's kind of bendable, but it reminds me of the rulers that, you know, just don't bend. And if you pull them too hard, they just snap because they're so rigid. And the reality is, if we're doing this Christian walk with God, we cannot be rigid in our faith. We cannot be rigid in our walk. Well, this is the way I'm going to do it, God. I cannot do that. I do it this way. You're going to fail in that. You're going to bring a stress to your life, and you're going to just keep bringing a frustration to your walk. See, God sometimes will say in the midst of a storm, peace be still to the storm, and it will rest. That makes no sense to my mind. In my head, I feel like, that doesn't make sense. I need to do something. I can't just speak to something or do, but we need to adapt to the way in which God is dealing with something. We need to not get our own thinking in the way of it and presuming we know best, but we need to, when God says, well, this is how you're going to need to do it, we need to bend to his ways even though it doesn't make sense. See, the disciples were panicking in the natural, but Jesus already had a supernatural plan. He governs the storm. He governs the natural things. So when natural things are breaking out and causing chaos, our God is able to speak to them and they obey him. Not the other way around. Speaking to a storm is not a normal thing. If we stay rigid in our own understanding, this is the reality. The storm will consume us rather than us consuming the storm. We will be overwhelmed by the waves crashing against us rather than letting the peace and the joy of God overwhelm the waves around us. and we will become consumed with the chaos rather than letting God consume the chaos. Amen. There's simple scripture that I think of when I think of this, because the world's ways is very different to God's ways. We know that, right? Being adaptable to what God is saying is very key to living through the storm. Being able to bend to what he's saying, hearing what he's saying, living to his rhythm and walking in his direction requires us to, like Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. That by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will. Listen, if we're going to know the direction, we first have to know his will and way. And we know that through what? Not conforming to the patterns of this world. Surrendering to the King and trusting his way and word. Amen? If we're going to see storms and all this stuff, chaos in our world, if we're going to see ourselves get through it well, we have to first subject ourselves to the King who's asleep on the boat. Amen? We have to bend to his rule and reign. Not steering ourselves, I'm going to get us through this. No, 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 you're just going to wear yourself out and stress yourself out. Take his yoke upon you. He will bring rest to your soul and he'll bring you to the other side. This is the truth. We need to know God's direction. We need to know God's rhythm and we need to adapt to what God's saying in the moment. Amen. Whenever a storm is breaking out, we have to do those three things. These three things, again, this is a signature thing that I'm sharing. These aren't three things that are, let's go to theology school. These are three things that I live in my life. Trying to tune into God's voice is key to my walk. Should be key to all of our walk, right? But listen, there's one other thing, one final little mini point that I wanted to make when it came to this, because there's something, as I was spending time with God, this Thursday, he reminded me of. And sometimes you can get caught in scripture and you think, oh, that's a great. But sometimes you just got to read a little bit on. And there'll be more that God wants to show you. And so we're used to storms on the outside when things are kicking off and this, you know, things are happening. Oh, that's not worked, or financial issue, or this is happening over here, or a family member over here. And oh, there's storms breaking up all around us. But I don't think they're the hardest type of storm to deal with. It's this fourth type of storm that I believe is one of the hardest to deal with. And we read it in Mark 5. So Jesus has just dealt with the waves crashing in, the chaos breaking out everywhere. And then it says in Mark 5, they get to the other side, to the land of the Gerasenes. And it says they're met with a man with an unclean spirit who was demon-possessed, but he was so broken, so messed up, so hurt, he was pushed out of society, chained in a place outside, and it said he cried day and night and cut himself. Why? Not because of the storms on the outside, but because of the storms on the inside. See, storms on the outside sometimes are really quite easy to deal with. Like I've just given you some free principles. But storms on the inside, sometimes they're a little bit harder to deal with. And you know what? They're not always seen. People are carrying stuff on the inside and you don't even know it. But God does. Storms don't always blow up on the outside, like I said. Listen to these storms that I've just been thinking about with God. Storms of guilt. Storms of rejection. Storms of anger, hurt, jealousy, inadequacy, insecurity, storms of depression, storms of fear, storms of worry, storms of anxiety, storms of psychotic behaviors. These storms are hard storms to deal with. But as I was sitting there in my upper room, in my little seat, talking to God, I hear God say this: I am the one who calms the wind and the waves. But I am the one who calms the storm on the inside too. And as I heard that, like a wave blew over me. Fear cannot stay. Depression cannot stay. Anger cannot stay. Rejection cannot stay. Sin cannot stay. Self-doubt cannot stay. Come on, family church, this morning, some of you need to hear this. The biggest storm of your life is when you wake up and sometimes look in the mirror and you hear a voice that says, you can't do this. You're not good enough. You'll never make it. And actually, in some cases, you are crying out day and night. But all you need is the presence of God. Because when he comes, every other storm has to reside. Amen? So storms of depression this morning are going to leave in Jesus' name. Storms of psychotic behaviors are going to leave your life in Jesus' name. Storms of addiction and behavioral issues are going to leave in Jesus' name. No storm is big enough for my God. And if you're dealing with rejection in any way, you need to know this morning that Jesus Christ is the biggest picture of acceptance you will ever see. A God in heaven who came down as man. Seems mad, I know, but it's true. Who went to the cross and was pierced for your transgressions. He was nailed so that you could be free. The crown of thorns on his head was so that you could have peace in your mind. His hand stretched open and nailed as a sign of the kingdom of God and welcome to the kingdom of God. His blood poured down so that you could have life. Come on, this morning, stand with me. Some people need to receive something that they've never received before in their life, and that's the greatest gift that's ever been. That will calm every storm, whether externally or internally. It happened to me, and it's happened to so many people in the house this morning that have come into this place with storms raging and have walked out with peace. Come on, let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that your heart beats different to ours. Let us line up with it right now, Lord, your rhythm. Father, we thank you that your direction is what we need through your word, not our own. We don't need to know our own direction. We need to know yours this morning, Lord. Father, help us to adapt ourselves to your word where we are not conforming to what we know, but being transformed by what you're teaching us. Father, I pray that every storm that's raging in people's lives right now, peace be still in Jesus' name. Every voice that's not of you, Lord, I've been there. Schizophrenic voices that worry you, right now leave in the name of Jesus. Any residence that's not meant to be there, leave in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that right now you're bringing us to the other side, into a land of plenty, in a land of freedom, a land of victory, a land of hope, a land of freedom in every area. Come on, just keep your eyes closed and be in a posture of prayer as we pray this final prayer. And I want to invite anyone who doesn't know Jesus, and maybe your life is chaotically in a storm right now. You feel like the disciples that I just mentioned in that boat. Everything is falling apart. I can't promise you that everything will just make sense straight away, but I can promise you this because the Bible says so, that when you put your faith in him, when you believe that he is your Lord and Savior and turn from your old way of living, his peace becomes your peace. His righteousness becomes your righteousness, and you have a connection with God that cannot be broken. And it's simply a place of receiving receptiveness in your heart, where you say, God, I open my arms to you. Jesus, I believe in you. And we're going to do this together. We're going to pray. Repeat this prayer after me, church. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I turn from an old way of living. I walk away from sinful ways. I make you Lord of my life, Jesus. I believe in you. I receive new life this morning. Let the calm come in Jesus' name. Listen, just keep your eyes closed. And I just want to invite people into a place of relationship with him this morning, that maybe your life will become that peaceful moment that we've all experienced before. And I just want to pray. I just want to invite anyone that needs to commit their life to the Lord just to do one simple thing, and that's raise your hand. So if you're here today and you need to commit your life to the Lord, no one else is looking, I just want to see a hand, and I'm gonna be praying for those people. If you need to give your life to Jesus this morning, you need to make all things new. On the count of three, I just want you to boldly put your hand in the air. One, two, three. Is there anyone here this morning? There's hands at the back. Anyone else that needs to commit their life to the Lord? Come on, this is a moment. There's more hands at the back. This is a moment between you and God that changes everything for eternity. The Bible says the old is gone and the new has come. New life right in this moment becomes yours. Is there anyone else this morning? You know this is a moment that can't be changed. You just need to put your hand up. You need to commit your life. Father, I thank you for every heart and hand that raised itself towards you this morning. Father, I pray, let every storm reside right now in Jesus' name. Let every chaotic, anxious thought start to slow down in Jesus' name. Father, I pray this week that us as a church would learn to live to your rhythm, live towards your heartbeat, and in everything we do, Lord, let us hear your word. Father, we pray that this week would be blessed as we go out and blessed as we come back in. It will be blessed as we touch and move and do everything we need to do at work and in everything in our homes. Our families be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Yeah, let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Hallelujah.